Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of the NFL, joining me right now on the program, you can find him on Twitter at RyanWilsonCBS. You can find his work on CBSSports.com. He covers the NFL and the NFL draft, both of which we are going to talk about in this next conversation. Ryan Wilson joining me right now on CBS Sports Radio. So, Ryan, this Antonio Brown trade to the Raiders, how badly are the Pittsburgh Steelers taking it on the chin in this one, in your opinion?
Well, listen, if you're giving them a grade in terms of how they turned out, I think F is pretty close to nailing it. I think the Raiders get like a B-plus or an A. They land one of the best receivers in the league. The downside is that they're giving him $30 million guaranteed, and he'll be 31 in a few months. And that's $30 million guaranteed that he wasn't getting in Pittsburgh. Antonio Brown gets A++. I mean, he comes out of this looking better than anybody. Typically, only have leverage against NFL teams. And Antonio Brown proved that someone else can do that. So he made sure he wasn't going to Buffalo. He made it such that he could go to a place he wanted to go, John Gruden and Derek Carr. Not only that, he got $30 million guaranteed on top of a 3-year deal that gives him $50 million in total. So he's the big winner out of all parties here, but it is without question that the Steelers are dead last. I mean, they were saying for weeks that they wanted a first-round pick. They got a third and a fifth. For comparison, they got a third-rounder last year from Martavis Bryant. He was cut before the season started, and then he was suspended indefinitely by the time December rolled around. So, yeah, it's terrible look for Pittsburgh, but here's the upside. They have a really good track record with moving on from wide receivers, and they have an even better track record of finding wide receivers late in the drafts. But that said, you can't lose your two best players in Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown in back-to-back years and not be affected.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been saying since the start of the show tonight, Ryan, that in some ways Antonio Brown gave players, at least players who are good players and have the leverage to do this, kind of gave them the blueprint to get out of the situations that they're in. Unfortunately, the blueprint is just act like as big a jerk as you can possibly be, and maybe that forces the hand of your team. What are your thoughts? I mean, what did players who may be in a situation like Antonio Brown, do you think they're going to observe the way he handled this and think, man, if I handle it the same way, I might be able to get what I want out of this deal?
Oh, they're paying attention. But here's the big caveat here. You have to be, like I said, a franchise quarterback or one of the best players on the planet. Antonio Brown is the latter, and that allowed, even at age 30, so that allowed him some leeway. Now, look, the Steelers didn't handle this well at all. They could have moved on from Antonio last year, the year before, if they knew the writing was on the wall. It sounded like they did. But apparently Mike Tomlin reportedly said, listen, I won't put up with Antonio Brown until I can't put up with him anymore. And that final straw happened in week 17 when he didn't show up. So a lot of players paying attention, but not every player. In fact, nearly zero players can do this unless you're the Julio Joneses of the world. Mike Thomas, by the way, tweeted out, basically to the effect of, you do what you have to do, Antonio. I understand. His contract's coming up. Not that he's a locker room issue or any of that, but he's well aware of the situation. So if he feels like perhaps he isn't going to be fairly compensated down the road, maybe this is something he considers. But it was interesting nonetheless that he actually tweeted in response and in support of Antonio Brown.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. How do you think it's going to go in Oakland and then Las Vegas for Antonio Brown?
Oh, terribly. Without a doubt, it's going to be a huge disaster on the field. Listen, here's the deal. Antonio has had six straight seasons of 100-plus receptions, 1,200 yards. I think he's had 67 total touchdowns in that time. And Ben Roethlisberger made a point to force the ball to Antonio Brown. Derek Carr, if he short hops a few passes, it could be over by week three in terms of Antonio Brown losing his mind. I've watched the Steelers closely, and every time that Landry Jones would have to go in for Ben Roethlisberger, who would be injured or whatever, it would take about two plays before Antonio Brown was pouting. So Landry Jones clearly isn't as good as Derek Carr, but Derek Carr isn't as good as Ben Roethlisberger either. And that's an offense that last year, by the way, their leading receiver, his name was Jared Cook, a tight end, caught 68 balls, had like 100 targets. Antonio Brown averages 130 targets in Pittsburgh. So he's got to be comfortable with fewer balls coming his way, with less production. I'm of the opinion, and I could be wrong, he's more concerned about stats than winning. So even if, and we saw that, the Steelers would win games, and he would be pouting on the bench if he wasn't getting the number of balls he thought he should have. So let's say the Raiders start 4-2, but he's getting five balls a week and for 60 yards. That's not going to work. So I feel like this is a disaster waiting to happen. John Gruden, it reminded me of back in the 90s when Keyshawn Johnson was yelling at Gruden on the sidelines in Tampa Bay about getting him the ball. I think we're going to see a repeat of that 25 years later, by Halloween. We'll see some blow up at least once, maybe more.
Yeah, boy, that is a great call, that Keyshawn Johnson-John Gruden relationship, because it's Gruden who's involved in this one this time around, no doubt. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, joining me on the show. So one of the reasons why Antonio Brown, or one of the times that he got bent out of shape, was when Juju Smith-Schuster was named the MVP of the team this past season. Smith-Schuster actually had better numbers than Antonio Brown. How do you think it's going to go for Juju Smith-Schuster, presumably drawing a lot more attention this year than he did when you've got Antonio Brown lined up on the other side?
Yeah, look, let's not confuse Antonio Brown being a pain with Antonio Brown being an amazing NFL player, because he was a huge part of why they were so successful. So that is the, $50 million question. How does this affect Juju Smith-Schuster's on-field productivity? And I think what's going to have to happen, a couple things. Number one, James Washington, their second-round pick last year, has to step up. And there's no question about that. He has to. And then the thing becomes, okay, what are the Steelers doing in free agency? Jameson Crowder has been mentioned as a possible guy who can come in and stretch the field. John Brown, who was with the Cardinals and then last year the Ravens, another guy that could do that. Neither one are Antonio Brown. It's not even close. But the Steelers could also focus on finding the guy in the draft. And Kevin Colbert has had an amazing run of finding these guys in the draft. And I think you have to strike gold there, because Juju Smith-Schuster can't do it by himself. He's a completely different player than Antonio Brown. Really good, as you pointed out, with those numbers. And also something to keep an eye on is Vance McDonald, the tight end. He's going to have a much bigger role. He had a pretty big role last year. Roethlisberger sort of grew to be able to lean on him. And he's a playmaker. So you're going to be able to get the ball to more people, because Antonio Brown doesn't require the 15 targets a game. James Carr will be healthy. So the team's going to be fine offensively, even without Antonio Brown. I think the biggest issue is going to be, can the defense get better to the point where they can make up the difference in production that Antonio Brown would give them on the other side of the ball?
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. So Le'Veon Bell, where do you think he winds up?
Oh, it would be awesome if he ended up in Oakland. I would absolutely
yes.
love that. And here's the other thing. If they're going to give Antonio Brown all that money, someone tweeted this out, and I'm sorry, they can't remember who. They refused to pay Khalil Mack in his prime $23.9 million a year, but they're willing to pay 31-year-old Antonio Brown $19.8 million a year.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at. But if you're giving Antonio that money, why wouldn't you give Le'Veon Bell whatever he wants, which is $15 or $16 million, which is what the Steelers offered, but he turned down. So I think on some level that makes sense. John Gruden's going all in before they get to Las Vegas, turn things around. They won five games last year, and he was something of a laughingstock because he couldn't magically snap his fingers and make the Oakland Raiders what they were under Jack Del Rio 2 years ago, and they went 12-4. So that's at the top of my list solely for selfish reasons. I think Philadelphia makes sense because they don't have a running back. But again, they're so smart in what they do in the front office. They're not giving him $15 million a year. If he gets $12 million, he should run and take it, and that would be a pay cut from what he should have gotten from the Steelers, who they're willing to give him that. So I think Oakland, Philadelphia, I mean, the Colts have a ton of money, but they said they're not going to mess around with Antonio, obviously, now, or Le'Veon. Another name to watch might be Tampa Bay. Bruce Arians, obviously, former Steeler guy there. That would be a great compliment to what they want to do with Jameis Winston, who appears to be their quarterback. They need to protect him, but if you get someone that can make plays out of the backfield, Ronald Jones didn't work out last year as a rookie, that would make sense too.
Do you feel these Kyler Murray comparisons, you know, Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield, how comparable is Kyler Murray to those guys?
He's more Russell Wilson. I've talked to people who point out that he's a much more athletic version of Russell Wilson, and that takes your breath away, but you think about it and watch him play, you go, yeah, he is. And here's the thing. Kyler Murray won the combine just by showing up last week. Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks that worked out didn't have a great showing. They were okay, but no one blew anyone away. Kyler was taller than we expected. His hands are bigger than Baker's hands. And he weighed 1 pound more than Russell did when he came to the combine back in 2012. So, you know, that checks all the baseline boxes. And then you watch him play, and he plays a lot like Russell. He's faster than Russell. I think he's quicker than Russell. He throws a deep ball like Russell does. I think he's more accurate coming out of college, but those are things you can debate. He's less like Baker. I mean, if you look at their stats, by the way, Baker's last year in Oklahoma and Kyler's last year in Oklahoma, the passing stats are virtually identical. Lincoln Riley ran the exact same offense, didn't change anything going from Baker to Kyler. The difference comes when you look at the rushing stats. Baker had like 300 rushing yards. Kyler had 700 more rushing yards. So that's one more thing you have to account for, much the same way that teams that play the Seahawks have to account for Russell Wilson being able to run the ball. But don't confuse Kyler's rushing stats with him being Lamar Jackson. He can stand in the pocket. He can make plays. He's very savvy moving around inside the pocket to buy himself time. I think it's crazy that the Cardinals would take him number one. I think he's worth the number one overall pick, but I think the Cardinals look silly less than a year after taking Josh Rosen at number 10, deciding to just wash their hands of Josh Rosen, who had no one around him. Steve Wilkes somehow couldn't figure out how to use David Johnson, which continues to blow my mind. And then moving on to Kyler Murray and hoping that everything's okay.
Interesting. At Ryan Wilson CBS is where you can follow him on Twitter, and you can get all his stuff on CBSSports.com. Ryan Wilson joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Ryan, appreciate you making time on a Sunday evening, man. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Sean. Have a good one, man.
All right, you too. Thanks. Ryan Wilson joining me on CBS Sports Radio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.